Part 6. Maurice felt a sensation he was unused to. Grief. Added to the emotion was a few little extras, like spices to season a meal. Embarrassment, anger, and worst of all, fear. Fear of the boy who had suddenly become a monster, who could move like an animal, and who possessed the strength to rip Ernst's head off his neck like he himself would uncork a bottle of champagne. He was grieving for Ernst, who had for many years been a loyal friend and who he would never speak to again. He was embarrassed that he had once again underestimated Corrigan and his employees, and anger at the ridiculous system which now prevented him from doing what he wanted.
"I veto the hunt,"
Alani said from her throne.
"It will serve little purpose this close to the election to call a hunt on a mortal. Your associate most likely caused his own death by acting the way he did."
"Are you not listening to me?"
Maurice said, raising his voice and flapping his arms for effect.
"He ripped Ernst's head clean off! He's not a mortal! He's a supernatural creature of some kind!"
"He is still a mortal." Alani leaned forward. "Maurice, you are not a regent, even though you are running for prince. As of this moment, Diego and I are in charge of the safety of this city, and I see no point in using resources to kill a mortal, gifted with supernatural powers or not. You broke into his friend's house and attacked him. You drew first blood. As far as I understand the story, he had no choice but to defend himself. He wouldn't have attacked Ernst otherwise."
There was a quiet murmur among the assembled vampires in the Elysium, but nobody spoke up.
"Alani," Diego said. "Perhaps, based on the personal reasons in this case, Ernst did travel with Maurice and myself for many years. We could make an exception to the rules and allow Maurice to..."
"I've made my decision," Alani said, and locked eyes with Diego. "There will be no hunt at this time. However, if you are elected to the throne, Maurice, whatever you do after that will be up to you."
She didn't look down at Maurice when she said his name, effectively ignoring him, and that only added to his anger.
"This meeting is over unless anyone else has further business to conduct with the regents," Alani said.
When no one spoke up, she got out of her chair.
"I will see you tomorrow night, Diego."
"Indeed."
Diego's smile vanished the moment Alani had left the room. He and Maurice walked toward the elevators, while the crowd spread out to let them through.
"Ernst doesn't deserve this," Maurice said. "He didn't deserve to end his life on a dirty floor in a filthy little apartment, and he doesn't deserve not to be avenged."
Diego put an arm around his shoulder.
"Maurice, we've tried. They are much more powerful than we thought. To go against them now, just the two of us, it would be madness. Wait until we win the election. We can attack them with the full force of the city."
"That's just it."
Maurice looked him in the eyes.
"I'm no longer so sure we're going to win the election."
Diego's eyes widened.
"What? Why?"
"Because we came here promising strength and free hunting. We promised that we vampires would reign supreme in the city by the bay, as in the old days. However, if we can't remove our obstacles to that freedom, what kind of rulers will we look like? People might decide they prefer the security and safety of L'Amour, the city where you can always feed but never kill, and where you only need to worry about enemies if you step out of line."
He made a face like he had a bad taste in his mouth.
"No art, no freedom, rules and control at every step. Didn't someone once say that he who gives up freedom for safety deserves neither?"
"I think that was Benjamin Franklin, but in a somewhat different context,"
I don't care about context!
Maurice's eyes lit up like two burning embers.
I want to end this! Before the election, I want to destroy Corrigan, Boyle, and all of their miserable little friends!
Actually, Diego said, and a smile curved the corners of his mouth. We might have a unique opportunity in a couple of days. One of the groups who followed Corrigan's staff reported something interesting to me yesterday. Did you know there's going to be a wedding?
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Maurice relaxed visibly. The anger that had made his eyes glow now faded away, replaced by creative curiosity and good humor. A wedding, you say? Do tell. After checking up on Bob, who had been absolutely fine and in the middle of a very busy night in Convergence Club, Mercedes and Charlie had eaten an enjoyable dinner with her parents and siblings, her aunt Connie, as well as Charlie's sister and mother. Mercedes had gotten used to Charlie's very soft Massachusetts accent, but was unprepared for his mother's and sister's thick Boston accents. Several times, she had to ask Mrs. McCoy to repeat herself, and every time Charlie had to hide a grin behind a napkin.
"You don't sound like that,"
she said when they drove home to Charlie's apartment later.
"You just have a little bit of it sometimes."
"That's because I've lived in California so long, my accent center rebooted," Charlie grinned. "I used to sound like that, but if we went back to Boston for a few weeks, I probably would again."
"Please don't. I'm not sure I like it."
"It's not something I do on purpose. Sometimes it just comes to me. But at least my mom speaks English. I don't even know if half of what I say makes sense to your family."
"Connie gets it, and my sisters do too. My parents..."
Mercedes shrugged.
"Mom's horrible at English. My dad understands more than he lets on, but he's just used to being quiet. At home, he spends most of his time in the kitchen, and everybody in the restaurant speaks Spanish. My cousins, though, they speak 10 words of English between them. But that's okay. They'll like you anyway."
"Well, I'm glad they came, and I'm glad I get to meet them." Charlie looked over at Mercedes as he turned a corner. "What's with all the cheek pinching? It seemed they all wanted to..."
"Family tradition," Mercedes sighed. "They do it all the time. It means fresh face, essentially. You're new, so you get pinched. Can you imagine why I never brought home boyfriends before?"
"I can. But I honestly thought that was just about them being Catholic."
"That too. You're actually lucky I'm going home with you tonight. If it was up to my mom, my sisters would have taken me to a safe house and kept me there until the ceremony."
"And left me by myself?" Charlie said. "I mean, not that I'm complaining, but it would mean a couple of nights to watch some ball games or catch up on my Netflix shows." Mercedes punched him on the shoulder.
"Are we already getting to the point where you'd rather be without me?"
"Not by a long shot. Actually, it's just because I'm driving this car that I'm not all over you right now."
"There, there,"
Mercedes said in a prim voice.
"None of that. How would our wedding night be if we'd done exactly the same just two nights before?"
"Who says we'd be doing the same?"
"Oh, you!"
Mercedes blushed.
"Just take us home. But anyway, tomorrow night, I am going to leave you for Victoria and Isabella. You shouldn't see me in my dress before the ceremony, so I'll be staying at their hotel and getting a makeover. Hair, nails, the works. Then we'll meet for the ceremony in the park.
Suits me fine. My best man's arriving tomorrow morning, and Andrew's promised to go with us to some of the places in town that are not supernatural.
What about Jim and Matt?
Matt's too young to get into a bar, so he's not invited to the bachelor party. Jim? Well, if he wants to come, I'm not going to stop him. Things just tend to happen when he's around. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Why do you think I work for him?
And speaking of co-workers, are you going to have Rhea as a bridesmaid or something?
Mercedes laughed. I think she'd explode if I asked her. She's invited. That's good enough for her.
Okay. I was just curious.
Charlie drove up Telegraph Hill and parked outside his apartment building.
But, you know, since we're going to be apart tomorrow, then it makes it even more important.
What?
That we do this, Charlie said, reaching over the seat and kissing her. She responded in kind, and after a few minutes of making out in the car like two teenagers at a drive-in, they went up to the apartment.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.